miss.
Ah, you know, it feels like it's been a little while since we've done this, but we are right back where we left off. This is your man 50 Gram with the mic in his hand, MC Johnny T, aka you know who, none other than the great Thick Flair, chilling with the Punkdemic CEO, aka the queen of everything. How you doing today, ma'am?
Ma'am?
Yes.
Okay. I don't like how this is starting already. Really?
Madam? Madam?
Yeah. Episode. Ma'am?
Madam?
Oh, gosh. Okay, listen.
Superstar? Miss Lady?
Okay.
Miss So-and-so?
Listen.
Your Highness?
Do your job.
Your Highness? Does that not work?
Ma'am's like my mom. Anyway, go ahead.
Well.
Good over here. Thank you.
I just wanted to see how you're doing and how you feeling.
I'm feeling like.
Mm-hmm.
Let's keep doing,
you know, I don't like you yelling at me like this on the air. You know, I have feelings and they get hurt. Okay. I don't care for that very much. Now let's use our words and let's use them a little kindly. How are we doing today, Miss Amazon?
No, you didn't try to check. Wow. I appreciate the effort. It was really cute. You tried to keep me on my own podcast. You're bold today. I see that. I'm doing well. I'm happy about today's guest. It's taken me a minute to get a hold to her, but I finally did. And oh, so I'm wearing my Rosetta Stone Sage shirt from Punk Island from when I went there, and that's when I met her. So anyway, let's do our intros and bring her in, Johnny.
All right. Well, I mean, I'm sure you guys already know the routine by now. You know, we need you to head on over to punkdemic.com. where you can get a ton of everything Punkdemic in terms of the merchandise. Punkdemic baseball caps, Punkdemic t-shirts, hoodie season is coming up. Make sure you go ahead and take advantage of our fabulous prices during the off hoodie season, because when hoodie season arrives, the prices are not coming down at that point in time. As a matter of fact, they're going to go up to be billions and billions of dollars.
Oh,
billions and billions. Billions. So go ahead and grab it right now where you can get it for like $39.95 or something like that, or $29.95 or whatever prices we're running for right now. Punkdemic.com, your number one source for all things Punkdemic. If we can throw a logo on it, it's probably available. Punkdemic.com. What's the name of the new line up there? The Africa one?
It's Africa and friends. It's La Afrique.
Ah, see, I needed you to say it, because given the opportunity to mess up the pronunciation, yours truly would do it. So we got some new collections that are out there on the store, so make sure you swing by the shop. Help us keep our light on. That allows us to keep these episodes moving smoothly. You know, our hosting fees, our web hosting fees, our distribution fees, and we got a lot of fees that we pay around here. We got fees, baby, but nothing's free, if you will, baby. So we need you to slide on over to punkdemic.com and go ahead and buy something real soon, baby.
Or I'm sorry. Listen.
No. See, we don't have to do any apologies just yet. Not just yet. We haven't even gotten started. But we are going to bring our guest in right now.
Thank you.
That feels like a good thing to do. What do you think about that, Amazon?
I would appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, what I heard was, Johnny, please go ahead and push the button and let the guest in. Pretty please, with a cherry on top, baby. Please let her in. I can't wait another minute for this, if you will.
You didn't hear that at all.
Yes, she did, man. Hey, she's got like, you know, if she wasn't such a punk person.
Oh, geez.
Like, if she wasn't so punkish, if she ever decided she wanted to transition to the world of, I don't know, say hip hop or something, she got the right name for it. Last name Luchini, baby. She got lots of loot in her pocket, baby. That's what's going on. We're going to welcome to the stage, Flora Luchini. Yay!
Okay, wait. So let's start with my childhood trauma of that song. Okay. Oh. If I have to hear This Is It, what? One more again. I swear.
I didn't mean to drum up any painful memories.
Hey. If you make eye contact with Johnny, he'll go away.
I love it. Maybe we should stand really still. Maybe he won't see us.
You know, I feel like I'm not wanted here at this moment.
Oh my God.
Amazon. Yes. I feel like that was a very subtle way of saying, we'll see you later, Mr. Taylor.
So passive aggressive.
Yeah, like, you know, I'm just here in the spirit of love and unity, you know, punk-demic spirit.
Yeah, it's like the my little coffee mug.
Oh, let's go ahead and zoom in on that for the people. Yeah.
When it rains, look for rainbows. When it's dark, look for stars.
Stars. There must be a lot of stars in my soul right now because I feel a lot of darkness coming from Amazon, the pandemic, the queen of everything, if you will.
Healing.
I'm gonna get out of here before, while I still can, in one piece. I'm gonna go ahead and just see my way on out of here.
That's so funny. Thanks, Johnny.
Don't encourage him at all.
Encourage every bit of it.
His shenanigans has my close sign forever.
Have fun. So something you said when we were corresponding about Mafa.
Yes.
You referred to them as hired guns, and that phrase stuck in my head the rest of the time.
I love that.
Come in and explain about the hired guns. Like, how does that work? And how do you pick which guns that you're hiring? How do you find the guns?
Yes.
Like, coming from, I want to know.
Absolutely. So I'm professionally outside of hardcore, which I've been doing for a very long time. I'm a jazz musician. I'm a jazz bassist and composer. And I come from a family of jazz musicians. So my dad's also a bassist and my mom is a sax player. And so in our world, it's very common to like have gigs where you don't even know the musicians until the day you arrive at the gig, because you're just playing music that everyone knows, you know, you're playing your standards or you're doing a real book, especially when you're first starting out. And it's very common to sub people out. Like I'm a musician, I'm a performer, I have some original music, some covers, some standards I wanna do. And then I hire musicians for each gig, depending on who's available. And part of what I wanted to do with Ma'afa, the whole point of Ma'afa is to bridge my worlds together, and not just sonically, but also behind the scenes, because as one of my booking agent friends calls me, a creative, administrative creative, that's what she calls me, because I love the business side of everything as much as I do the music. And I really wanted to incorporate little things, little characteristics into Ma'afa, which is a band whose music I write for. So part of that is getting subs and having musicians. And I've always had a global perspective for Ma'afa. Like the dream has always been international. So I've always wanted it to be the type of band where I can bring a few of my musicians from the US with me when we play, let's say on the continent or in Europe or in Latin America, and use musicians from there to come in and sub out and play in the band as well and incorporate our cultures together. So that's just, it's a little nod to the culture. You know, I'm an industry baby for real, like born into the music industry. So it's a little nod to the, you know, the GB professional musicians I come from, and also just gives me the ability to not say no to certain gigs because of the availability of other people. And it's also respectful to the fact that if you're in a band in hardcore that traditionally is like punk and hardcore is like four friends get together and they are all part of the writing process, this band is unique because it's not technically marketed as my solo project, but technically I guess it is, because if one person is doing all the writing of the music, then it's appropriate to have, you know, musicians get paid individually per gig for their labor, in my opinion. I just always want to make sure everyone is credited and publishing rights and all the stuff that they deserve for the work they do. So that's where that comes from. But Hired Guns is just a much quicker way of saying that, if you will.
It's just little phrases that people use stick in my mind. That's how my mind works.
Same though.
Like the whole day, I was like, I love that.
Yeah, I love that. Thank you.
But no, you also fit into the vibe of punkdemic because people hear the word punk and they automatically assume that that's all I'm ever going to talk about or or do. And it's not, right? It's every kind of genre, all the arts. I love all the things, right? So it's more of a mixture of representation of me personally that, rather than just the word punk, you know?
I love that. Which is the most punk thing ever.
What's that?
That is very punk.
That's what I think. We had a discussion. I've talked to a few people about the whole idea that punk is only supposed to be a certain way and a certain aesthetic and a certain everything. And if you're a person of color, we kind of, some of us didn't fit into that from jump anyway.
I never will if you're going to define it that way. Yeah.
100%. So I love the idea of you saying, well, when we tour other places, we want the different musicians to come in from the different places. I freaking love that. That's awesome.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I have been such a huge fan of yours for so long. What? I love the work that you do. Like my whole community, we are stans. We love you. And I don't know how often, as Black women especially, we don't necessarily get the credit or the flowers that we deserve for the shit that we do. I'm sorry, I don't know if I can cuss. For the things that we do. So I just wanted to make sure while I had the opportunity to give you those flowers that I did. Because it's one thing to give them to you privately. It's another thing to give them to you on a platform and publicly. And I think that's even more important sometimes.
Oh my God, okay. I'm having a moment. Hold on.
Like, where were you in the 90s? I needed you so bad.
I'm blushing. Like, because for me, initially, it was just me doing what I've been doing. Like, I've been in the scene, multiple scenes for whether I'm in the background or I'm just, I fucking handed out flyers on the corner before. I did reggae. I did punk. I worked in metal. Okay, so I'm learning still more about modern jazz.
Sure.
Non-American musicians?
Sure. I mean, I went to Berklee, so College of Music, not California. So I'm very familiar.
I'm not learning. Right now I'm on Afrobeats heavy. Not Afrobeats with a T, because that would be like Fela. The current Afrobeats that's coming out is all I play right now.
I'm very familiar, yes.
So I go through these phases. But all that to say, again, you were impressive, Rosetta Stone Stage. When I met you, you just had a really wonderful energy and you left a lot of impression. So
Thank you. Same to you.
So before Mafa, what happened then? What were you working on before you started the Mafa band?
Yeah. So back in my day, What happened was. Well, I guess the lowdown is, you know, I was born in Brazil. I'm Afro-Brazilian, Afro-Indigenous Brazilian. I'm Yoruba descendant. And I was born into a family of musicians. And I came to the U.S. in 1991. And I grew up in D.C. and that whole area. Like, I spent a lot of equal parts time growing up between Maryland, Virginia, West Virginia, North Carolina. You know, so I consider myself very Southern as well. My American side of my identity is very Southern. It's very Appalachia. It's very, you know, traditional in that way. And I'm very grateful for that. And I started performing very young, at like 3 years old. And my whole family, like my parents are musicians, my uncles, everybody. So we are a very musical family, and I gravitated to music very naturally. My parents have never put pressure on me to do anything. They just wanted me to just be free and live and do what I want. And I just happened to love what they do and felt very connected to that. And so I've done that my whole life. And I started with piano, saxophone, and voice. And then by the time I was 11, I switched to bass. And started taking lessons from my dad and from other musicians in the area, and started gigging immediately because I was like, put me on a stage. You know, I need to be on a stage. And then, but then hardcore quickly got me in a chokehold because I've always listened to rock music and heavy music over the period of it was the 90s. It was like very, at least with mainstream stuff, it was very inescapable. You couldn't avoid it. And so I got, you know, and I'm in DC, so I had, in my opinion, some of the best bands around. And not too far, excuse me, from Baltimore, where I got to experience a lot of New York hardcore really young, before I had that vocabulary. And so by the time I was like 12, 13, I started playing in like these little garage bands, whatever. And I joined my first real punk band called Booze Riot when I was, I think I was like 14 going on 15, just like a few months before my 15th birthday. And I started booking shows. I really got into the scene from booking shows, because the local all ages space that we had, which was the only place we really frequented, was called the Electric Maid. They were being threatened to shut down. There was no one there to really be like a head booker or talent buyer. I didn't know that's what it was called at the time. And so I kind of just put myself in there. Like, I made a little project proposal and took it over to the dude. It was so cute. And I was like, I want to book shows here because I don't want you guys to shut down. Yeah. And there was a couple bands that needed bass players. And I was introducing them to this idea of like subbing people out, you know, and like, just let me learn your set. I'll play so you don't have to say no to these shows until you can find a permanent guy. And then I was already booking on a professional level since I was like about 12 for my mom. I was kind of, from the language barrier, I had to translate a lot for her. So I was already working with venues like the Blues Alley and Bohemian Caverns and things like that to get gigs for my mom and to help out with my dad. And so it just translated naturally to hardcore. And I started off in punk, sure. Everybody does, I think. And I really loved it. There's a lot of punk bands that I really like, and a lot of things. I was a big Oxymoron fan and, you know, really into all those things, Os Rotten and everything, obviously political. But it wasn't until I shaved down, became a skinhead girl in my crew in DC and started going to shows in Baltimore that I got a hold of New York hardcore. And New York hardcore had more representation of Afro-Latinos and of Black people in their bands. And Baltimore hardcore did too, than most DC bands at the time. Not throughout our history in DC. We've had obviously Bad Brains and everybody else, but we didn't have that many. I was in most of the racially, culturally diverse bands. There wasn't a lot of us, period, in terms of bands. So when I went to Baltimore, that's when all those bands like, you know, like Billy Club Sandwich and Mickey's Crew and all these bands would bring their friends and all these bands would come play. And we had the Slumlords at the time and, you know, Stout, of course, rest in peace to my Uncle Scotty, and shout out to the NGMF guys. Those people were my second home, my second family. Those guys really took me under their wings and really just helped me out a lot. And the music just, I was always searching for something heavy my whole life. I didn't have that vocabulary until I was older, but I knew that there was, like, I started with Hole and Heavens to Betsy and Bratmobile and, you know, all these amazing bands, Biff Naked, everything. But then I was like, there's this darkness. I'm a happy baby. I'm all about, like, you know, the sunshine and rainbows. I'm all about that, unicorns, whatever. But there's this, like, life be life in, and there's some real shit there. So my spirit was always searching for something that gave me a safe space to cathartically express my darkness without it being like a judgmental, like, that's my entirety. And hardcore has been the only space that's afforded me and other Black girls that I know that. And I started going to shows heavily, and it was actually the only other two Black girls in my entire high school that listened to rock music. The three of us and our friend, this white girl that we knew, they're the ones that got me to go to my first shows. I started going to these all ages hardcore matinees at American University, really young, Phantasmagoria, Kaffa House, all those places. And I fell in love. And from punk was lived in me for a little bit, but then hardcore really took over. And once hardcore was introduced to my life, there's some hardcore that I wasn't vibing with. It was a little too poppy or not hard enough. And then, like, that whole Castle Heights era of hardcore, Beatdown, Sworn Enemy, Irate, Everybody Gets Hurt, you know, all those guys. I was like, yes, that's how I feel on the inside, Bulldoze. You know what I mean? All those, especially Bulldoze, I'm sorry. But like, it's just those bands spoke to something in me and have spoken to me that way ever since. And so I've lived a double life my whole life. I've lived this professional musician, jazz musician, curator, talent buyer, booker, whatever you want to call it. And just a, you know, regular schmegula degular hardcore kid that's just happy to be here. You know? So I was in a bunch of bands. And then Afropunk came out and James put out his documentary, and I was already a Honey Child stan. I was already had her little picture on my wall. I had never met her. And I was a skinhead sitting on the couch of this trailer park, like trailer house with a bunch of other white skinheads, and watching the Afropunk doc. And I was like, I want to do that now. That this is where I belong. The very next day, I called like the other five people that go to hardcore shows that are black that play instruments, and I was like, I don't care what you're doing, but today we're in a band. They're like, okay. And that was called Curbside Revenge, and that became the predecessor for Maafa. They wanted other things out of their lives, respectfully, and I love them, and they're doing wonderful. But then Berkeley happened, New York happened, and it was in New York where I was really welcomed with my crazy ideas to mix African diaspora sonically with hardcore, not metal, not punk, not ska, hardcore.
Yes.
Yeah.
I like how you put that. No, I got the same vibe when I went to New York, and I got home because I didn't travel a lot. I have children.
You have what?
Grandchildren.
What?
Yes.
Where? Where? Maybe it's melanin.
I've been around a while.
Yeah.
And, so I put a lot of stuff on hold because of my children. I didn't travel as much as I wanted to. I'd never been to New York until I went to Funk Island. Never been.
What? Where are you guys at?
I'm out in near LA. I'm in the LA area. West Coast. So I had never been there or visited. I never got to. Like, my priority was the children. And then they started having children. And so it was kind of crazy. I did all my craziness before I had them, most of it. So then I was, like, shaving my head. There was nobody that looked like me here then. Yes. I woke up one day, shaved all of my hair, and I had tons of... My grandma cried. It was a whole
thing. My mom did, too, because our hair is gorgeous. Our hair is amazing.
Threw on some suspenders, some Dickies and some boots, and was mobbing around, and they were like, what the hell's going on with you? And I was like, I don't know. It just went from there, and then I ended up having my child. My first child was with a punk rock boy.
Yeah. Yep.
And, you know, his mohawk was purple, his motorcycle was...
That would have gotten me, girl.
But anyway, so...
In between, let a skinhead with a neck tattoo walk in the room, I'm cooked.
I didn't know. You know what I mean?
Right on both sides.
I was like 18, 17. I don't remember.
Mm-hmm.
So all that to say, I squeezed it in between, you know, the children and the stuff they needed. And I would still book shows and go to shows. I became a pirate punk. My house was a venue. So like my kids would be in the house and they're... What was going on in the backyard, like,
yeah,
wild shit. So anyway,
yeah, I've lived in a couple of those.
I stayed close to home because of the kids. So I went over there and I was like, holy shit, I saw all these brown people everywhere, and I was like, this is what I want to do. So I came home and I started telling people, hey, we're gonna over here. Like, I've been telling everybody, I haven't gotten the dates yet or the venues, Flora, but it's happening. Like, I want to do stage, but I want to do it here, right?
Let's go.
Well, I'm doing it. It's happening.
Yes.
Oh, God. But so all that to say, there's definitely a different vibe and energy there. 100%. Like, I really, really felt welcome. I felt at home. It was different there versus here. There was a difference. And then again, you were one of the people that made me feel quite at home. And
it is your home. We are your home, no matter where we are. That's home. It's everywhere. It's your village.
But we don't always feel that. You know what I mean?
Oh, trust, I do.
So what are you doing lately? Because you guys just played, what was it? Last weekend? 2 weekends ago at the park?
We did. I don't remember our last show. No, that wasn't us. That was a different show. Maafa played. We just did a weekender tour just now. We played at the Bridge and Tunnel Brewery in Brooklyn on Saturday. And then the next day we played at Snapper McGee's in Kingston for my Uncle Scott. Say it again.
Just played.
Yes, we played those 2 shows. Yeah. At the same time, what was happening was Rock Against Racism at Tompkins, I think, with Rebelmatic and Reconstruction.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know why I get confused? It's because of your boy.
Because of Ramsey.
Hey, Ramsey's been on here. Like, Johnny Taylor loves Ramsey. Like, I'll mention the band. He'll be like, oh, I play in that band. I'm like, son of a... Like, dude.
We need to have a whole segment about Ramsey because that is... That's my heart. Like, Ramsey and I, like, besides our original guitar player, Kurt, Ramsey was the first musician I called. He started that band with me. He believed in my office since day one. He has sacrificed so much to make this happen. He has been with us for 8 years straight. And I get emotional thinking about Ramsey. And I remember getting the call from Creature when he wanted to start using Ramsey in Rebelmatic. And we were all, like, this big, like... you know, family at the time, you know, 1865, Maafa, Rebelmatic, all the other tribe bands that were coming out. And I mean, the term tribe is something I created at Creature's birthday show at Max Fish. I was just joking around and we were doing our Max Fish residency and I was like, tribe. And everyone, it just stuck. And now here we are. It's very cute. And the electric slide I started doing during emergency break.
I turned around, blamed him. And that's because they'd be like, hey, did you see the, here's the flyer for the, and I'm like, yo, what day?
Which band, what day? Now, the funny part is when Ramsey, it's when Rebelmatic, Maafa, and 1865 would play shows together. And there's been times, because we don't just share Ramsey, we also share Biz.
Oh.
So there's been times where there's been shows, like some of my birthday shows, where like, Ramsey can't make it, so Biz has to play drums for all 3 bands.
Oh,
or Biz can't make it, and then Ramsey plays drums for all 3 bands. And then percussion, back and forth.
I didn't mean to get it off target, but yeah, I just couldn't remember because I see all the flyers from, they always send me the flyers so I can put them up on the page, and I'll be like, wait, are you playing this day? No, I'm a, who's going to be? So what do you guys have going on now? Like, did you record? Are there recordings?
Yeah, no, we put out our first full length in 2023 on Juneteenth, and it's called Because We Are, which is the Ubuntu philosophy, I am because we are, which really, to me, encapsulates everything about why I'm even in the scene till this day at my age and what I'm trying to accomplish with my community here. It's jam-packed with so much musical information because that's the way my brain works. And it's also, I opted out of doing a CD booklet and I did a zine instead. And the zine is illustrated by Reagan Buchanan, who I do the Secret History of Black Punk Festival with every year. Yeah, so that is, if you get the physical copy, you can also download not just the music on Bandcamp, but when you download the album on Bandcamp and you buy it, you also get the zine digitally for free. It's in there.
We're going to have to do a merch swap. You
send I would love that. Of course. I would just give it to you. Of course.
Because the new stuff I got, I love it. It's probably my favorite. Besides the Olmec head one, I think you've seen Ramsey where it has the Olmec head. It's dope.
Yeah.
The new stuff I totally dig. So that would be neat. I'll send you a few things.
That's beautiful. I would love that. Yeah. And right now I'm just working. I've been writing our second record and spoiler alert, it's probably going to be a lot heavier than the first record just because, you know, your girl's been going through it. It's been a lot of grief. A lot of death has happened in my life in the past 2.5 years of very, very important people. And so that's been coming out in my songwriting a lot. And I'm exploring other rhythms from different African cultures that I have, you know, played music with and things. So it's going to be a very interesting second record. I'm still working on it. You know, me, it took years for me to put out the first record because I'm a perfectionist. So I'm gonna try to get it out to you guys within the next 20 years. So I'll let you know. And so we got that going on. And then I'm really just having my sights set on touring, particularly touring internationally, once it's safer to do so, given the current climate. And yeah. And just really would like to just go home and visit my family and hang out with the Black punks there, you know, because you said something really interesting about your first time in New York and your first time. Sorry. Your first time in New York and your first experience with our city here. It's, to me, it's amazing that that is, you know, even a thing, because that's so not the reality of what punk and hardcore has been for my life up until, you know, the Tribe era, the Ma'afa, you know, Solo and Minority Threat, the three of us came up together. We used to play shows together and tour a lot. And it was just, you know, it was not as common or as normalized as it is now. So I'm very grateful that we all have become a part of this thing that there are kids who first started, their first shows were Ma'afa shows when we first started back in 2017. And they were like maybe 14 or 15 then. And I have been coming to shows ever since then. So imagine how old they are now, how long they've been in the scene. And they can say that that's the first generation of punk and hardcore kids that are of color that can genuinely say they've never been the only Black person at the show. They don't know what that's necessarily like to be the only Black person in at a show. So I thought that was pretty awesome.
You know, there's a lot of people who don't know what it's like to be the only thick flare at the show. And so, you know, as a person
or anywhere, I imagine
it's tough. It's tough being the only one a lot of the times. Mm-hmm. I'm sensing some terrible static on the part of Amazon. I don't know what's happening.
Yeah,
oh my god. Oh, it's bad.com.
Okay, we'll take over. I'll hop out and come back. Yeah, I don't hear it at all.
Yeah, let's try that strategy.
All right, I'll see you in a minute.
I pulled her out. That's right. I got the mouse. I got the mouse. Who got the juice? Who got the mouse?
Flair.
I got the mouse.
Like a literal mouse. Mm-hmm. We are showing our age, hun.
That's right. That's right.
I love it.
I'm going to be big, bad, and tough while she ain't here.
That's right.
Big, bad.
Say everything you've always wanted to say.
But when she come back, I'm going to have some act right again. Just watch. Watch.
I love it.
Boom. No, it was going off in the middle of what you were talking about a few minutes ago.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, we can't have that.
No.
We can't have that.
I was
that.
Like, I'm just going to keep my, like, you know, my artistic film person came in. I was like, keep rolling until someone calls cut.
No, you handled the situation like a consummate professional. I know you being an alum from Berklee, they would be proud of you.
Oh,
the Berklee School of Music, mind you, not UC baby. Berklee.
That's right.
The real Berklee.
Yeah.
The real one. Yeah, yeah. Not that bootleg UC Berklee stuff. Exactly. Nobody likes that. Berklee School of Music is the one.
That's right. What did you say? You hear that, Juilliard? Get out of here.
Juilliard ain't got nothing on Berklee. They know it. They know it.
They know.
They just don't want to recognize. You know, real recognize real, and since they don't recognize, they ain't real.
That's right.
What did you major in at Berklee?
I majored in music business and management.
You know, I heard you earlier saying that you like the business part of it.
I do,
as well as, and it's hard to find. That is like such an anomaly.
I used to hate it, to be honest with you, because it was like, oh, I got to do this for my mom, and it felt like homework. But I ended up loving it because, the older I got, you know, being an immigrant too, people just assumed because I learned how to speak English pretty well really early on that my culture at home and outside of the scene was Americanized, and it wasn't. So I had to catch up quickly with the fact that people my age that were Black had all this knowledge of their history and all this stuff that a lot of Black folks outside of America don't have the same access to. And I had to learn that, Black musicians, from wherever you are, you're not going to get the same kind of credit. You get paid less. You don't necessarily get the same. That's why giving her flowers was really important to me, and like making sure y'all feel loved and get a thank you for the work you're doing, the hours of editing and production. You know what I'm saying? Like, people don't know. And so that's really freaking important to me. Like, that's my whole bread and butter. And I think that's what attracted me to the business side of things. It's like, I can't keep waiting on other people to do the publishing and to teach me how to copyright and register my work and fight for me if someone sues me or if I have to sue someone. So I had to learn how to like just be completely independent. And that's that DIY thing in us, you know, yeah. Being Black and being brown and being us, just being us. DIY is natural to us. It's not something we had to learn through punk. Like, they learned that shit from us. Like, what you mean?
We learned it after being punked so much by the system.
My bandmate from the 1865, our band leader, may he rest in peace, who I miss every day of my life, my mentor, Sasha Jenkins, he said in that interview with Honeychild for AJ Plus, being Black means being punk rock all the time. That was his quote. He said that. He ain't take that from no one else. That was just off the dome, bars, mm-hmm. right there. Exactly, because he's a genius. May he rest in peace and power. And that's, you know, that's it. That's everything that our type of music is. That's everything that I love our era of hardcore and punk. I call it a Black punk renaissance for that reason. Not because we've been absent and we need to come back, but because there's this new life being breathed into what we're doing. Like, yeah, Black folks have always been, it comes from us, but now it feels like we're owning that more unapologetically this time around, and we're centering Blackness and brownness in our scenes. And I think that's the, you know, that's everything, dude. That is everything. That is everything we fought so hard for. That's what getting beat up in the 80s and 90s for listening to that Kill Your Mother, Kill Your Father music, getting called devil worshipers and sluts and getting called, you know, crazy or whatever they were doing to us. All of that is worth it when I see the show that you saw. When you come to a Sister Rosetta stage at Punk Island, run by my tribe kids and my bandmates, and it's all Black and brown band. The fact that we even have that many to choose from to put on a bill, how to turn people away. You know what I'm saying? The fact that we can have that, that's, God is good. You know what I mean?
So how's the audio? Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, you know what? The thing with technology is, hey, you know,
it happens.
And I gave Johnny a chance to come and chat with you because if it wasn't.
We had a great conversation.
Yeah.
I heard you. When it, all of the things you said you like to do, I don't. I'm like, I love the creative part of it. I don't like any of the other things.
The business part.
And he's my. Well, damn, he's my everything. He does all the things. He's my technical guy. He's my, hey, what does this mean?
Guy. I love that.
All he says is, he puts his head, a deep sigh, just send it to me, Amazon, I'll take a look at it.
Like, this is what I mean by I am because we are. We're living proof of that every day.
And then the creative stuff, I'll be like, hey, I got this idea. We're going to write it and we're going to flip it upside down and turn it over here and move it over there. And he just goes, just send it to me and I'll just, let me take a look. And
I love that. I will say I've always tried to be that for other people too. And I'm trying to do that. You know, I'd be trying, but like sometimes Flora wishes she had a Flora. So I will say that. And I respectfully, because there's so many people that I need to give thanks to be where I'm at today, who help my offer every day. But sometimes I wish I can just delegate some things to another professional and be like, can you do it for free and leave me alone? I don't want to talk about it.
Well, me and Johnny always talk about wanting to be to the point where we have our secretaries because we are each other's.
Yeah. So
we're always like, man, I can't wait. Or I'll be like, give it to the secretary. And he'll be like, that's us. I'm like, oh,
Dude, there are so many kids coming out of Berkeley and coming out of other schools that would kill for an opportunity to intern for you guys.
What, you know, and the thing is, it started with me and my meanness, and then it just kept going, and then I drug him into the mix, kicking and screaming, literally. And I don't think about those type of things, Laura, so you just about to be set in
mind. That's why I'm here.
Correct. I don't think about it. I'm just go all the time.
All jokes aside, this is what I do. And I run my own business, my own production stuff, and kind of like a semi-label. I'm not going to call it a label. This is what I do. My friends have these great ideas. They're super talented and amazing, like the both of you. And we just need a little help here. Or how do we solve this problem? And I come in and I'm like, I can help. And that's community. So let's get to work. Let's do it. Whatever you guys need, I'm more than happy to contribute.
Johnny, I need an intern by tomorrow morning. Thanks.
Let's go. I got two people, actually, that can send you their resume tonight.
JT, she's got two people that are going to send you their resume tonight. You see how I did that?
One for marketing and one for that one whose strength is marketing and the other one's strength is digital, like software and social media.
You see that? Johnny, she's going to send you. You see how that works?
Got you.
So okay, well, make sure that you got my email address and all of that kind of stuff.
Let's go ahead and do that.
I had a good feeling about this guest. You know, I mean, she got the Punky Brewster joke. She wrote with the Luchini situation. I had a great feeling about this. This is.
Can that be my outro song? If you guys, can I be the Rosalind to your Frasier? Can you guys? Can you please?
I still watch it. That's sick. I have a sickness.
How can we not watch it? No, I outdo all of you guys on TV. You know how? Because I am a Gilmore Girls stan.
No,
Gilmore Girls. Team Logan. I'm about to piss off the whole internet. First of all, Team Logan. I said it. Team Logan.
I'm gonna give you your own screen right this moment. I just want to let you know. I want just for the general public to know that right now we're running off script. This the views expressed by the guests may or may not necessarily be those that are the views of Punkdemic.com, Punkdemic LLC, and or its affiliates.
I am lame. I was raised Adventist, trying to sneak around in my punk bands. What? I am lame. I need a shirt that says I am lame. Y'all don't understand. Gilmore Girls, I don't care. I will fight everybody. I don't care. It's my show. I got the book back. What?
No. See, I never got into the Gilmore Girls. I didn't get into it.
Can't be friends.
Gilmore Girls is my favorite show. We gonna be friends?
I almost did a spit take. That was Gilmore Girls is my favorite show.
We gonna be pals, right? I need those emails for those interns.
Oh, I love me some. What's her name? Lorelai. She's so funny. Not Flair Googling what is Gilmore Girls on the side.
All on the side. Like, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Team Jess.
I'm still learning about the business.
Logan.
Yeah, I swear to God. After the show, I'm after school. Me and you. No, but I'm still learning the business side of things. But one of the main things they taught me was to learn to delegate the things you don't know how to do.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, he's the guy I delegate everything to. So that's why when you said, I have an intern, I'm like, you hear that, Johnny? You have an intern. How about love that?
I love it. I always have a really hard time delegating because I got trust issues. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's real talk. But, like, I definitely have, like, a really hard time delegating because I need things done right the first time. And I need to trust that I can really relax and not have to think about that particular thing because I trust that the person who's caring for it shares the vision and shares the same level of love and compassion. Or if you don't, at least shares the professionalism to get it done. You know?
Fortunate. The people actually thought we were a couple. So every year I put up a partner appreciation, but I meant business partner or whatever.
I love that.
Man, let me tell you what happened when she did that. Man, listen.
That's your game up.
Man, no. As a matter of fact.
Oh.
As a matter of fact, there were so many ladies that was trying to get at me. It's almost like the secret is you got to look like you're attached to somebody.
I hate that. You're
going about it the wrong way all these decades. All you can do is have something fly on my arm and call it the day. So I look forward to Partner Appreciation Day, whenever that is. Because
I was like, he's my business partner. Like, he's my left and my right. I don't have a team. He is the team. We are the team. So
that speaks volumes of the quality of people that were advancing on you. That says a lot about the people that showed interest.
At some point in time, they'll find God, but it's not today. And that's
hallelujah. Won't he do it? Hallelujah. Won't he do?
People trying to figure out what the hell Amazon's doing. They don't know what I'm doing, who I'm with, who I like, who I don't. Why am I doing?
It's none of your freaking business. Listen, you see on my social media page, I'm very private about what actually happens in my life. My page is Gilmore Girls, witchy goth stuff, little doggy babies, and hardcore. That's all you're ever going to see, because you don't need to know everything. You don't need to know where I live. You don't need to know where I'm at. I'm already too exposed in a way that makes me feel uncomfortable when I put the addresses of like shows and stuff. I always feel like,
comes, I don't want there. Yeah.
It's just because I'm all about like love and redemption and forgiveness and community and all that stuff. And the world just wants to bully that out of me. And I'm very sensitive. So I take everything to heart because I care about what the fuck you have to say or think. But there's that part of me, like I'm attracted to beat down hardcore for a reason. You see what I'm saying? So there's a part of me that's also not going to tolerate that type of ignorance and disrespect. And so it's very hard for me to just put myself out there. Like, why are you asking about my personal life? Care about my music. What does it matter what I look like? What does it matter what I'm doing? What matters is the freaking music. And I think the scene in general has lost that a little bit.
No, they want to know all your personal everything. And like I keep telling them, if you keep trying to figure me out, you're going to be so confused because I don't know what the hell I'm doing myself half the time.
Who does? We're human.
Don't do that, because I don't even know what the hell I'm doing. How about that?
Period.
When they think they got all the answers, she switches up all the questions.
I love that. I'm here for that. I support that 100%. Keep me guessing, sis. Please. Mm-hmm. How about, like, I not try to guess? How about that? How about it's none of my fucking business?
People are so...
Just go buy some merch and an album. Just call it a day.
45 minutes.
That's it. I just feel like some parts of hardcore are becoming a little too silly. Like, I'm all about a good joke. I'm a goofball. I should have been a stand-up comedian. Might still do it. Switch up on you guys later. I don't know. But, like, I definitely think there's some aspects of hardcore in this generation that's becoming almost like it was funny, but now it's feeling like, are you mocking us? Like, this is, doesn't feel like, are we in the joke with you or are you laughing at us? You know, because it's getting a little too gimmicky and too silly sometimes. So that's why I appreciate our community, because we can joke around and we can toe the line, but we are really about the music. Like, this music has really saved a lot of lives and we need to focus on that.
When we get off of here, Baddie Core, we're going to have that conversation. Off of here, because we're running out of time. JT, wrap us up. Flor, we'll have you on again when I'm not, like,
I would love to.
On here, like, I was gone for, like...
I need to be a co-host. We need to have teachable moments with Flor from my office. That's what we...
I'm here for it. I'm here for it. Johnny,
the Black Girl's Guide to Gilmore Girls.
Oh, my God. I do not start, like, trying to watch it, and, like, that's going to be, like, a whole...
Do a watch party, like tag me in. I'll walk you through it.
I'm gonna need some directions, that's for sure. just I don't turn left when I should turn right, you know. Just
call me Siri, be like, Flora, make a left at Stars Hollow. Absolutely, that'll be me
to join Team Logan
for you. For you, I'm gonna start the damn show for you.
That's my real goal with my offer. My whole agenda has been just turn everybody into Gilmore Girls fans. That's it.
Oh, Do you feel like that's an uphill battle, or do you think you can make it happen?
I feel like the fact that I even think it's possible says a lot about my mental awareness of the world right now.
And that feels like a great place to wrap.
Yeah.
That feels like a great place. But before we get out of here, you gotta plug something. What's happening with stuff? Where can people go buy stuff? Where can people go share things?
The first thing I want to plug is my drummer, one of my percussionists, Nate, who ran the Sister Rosetta stage with Leg Drop. He's one third of Leg Drop. He's in a new band called No Weapon, and they are sick. They're so good. It's like some members of Lake Lanier, Extinguish the Code, Maafa. It's so good. So keep an eye out for his band, Shoot the Five. Shout out to them. That band means so much to me in my heart. Maafa stuff is streaming everywhere. You can get stuff on Bandcamp. Merch is usually exclusively sold at shows for now. We are working on having more of an online store for next year. We're revamping and rebranding for next year, so that'll be cool with the new album. And some music videos are coming out, so that'll be cool. Other than that, just the community. Just keep hardcore for authentically hardcore kids, for your community. Protect your neck, protect your surroundings. Make sure that, we keep this going for another 40 years at least, and we do it better than the first 40.
Yay!
Love it. Love it.
I love you guys. Thank you so much for having me. I'm honored.
Thanks for coming to hang out with us, and we appreciate it. You're welcome anytime. Definitely, when you transition and get your things lined up online, come on back and let's just make an event out of it.
An online
grand opening for the store.
Oh my God, can we do that? I'll be so honored. And send me stuff anytime you have promo stuff so we can
See, you say you don't like that I always give you work to do.
But
you just volunteer.
But, yeah. here's the difference. I don't have to build the store.
Oh, true.
I'm not building the store. We just bring it around so she could talk about the store.
I love it.
True. Bam.
True.
That's
true. Teamwork makes the dream work.
Love it. I love it. I love it. I almost got this one is mixed up with the wrong podcast. I was getting ready to use the tagline that we use to tag out of here at the end of each episode. But I just remember we don't have one here yet. So our running thing is we just don't have like that one powerful phrase at the end, that one way to just close it out. Some kind of way that can just bring the whole thing together. I tried to run a few by her, like, all right, well, how about this one? Thanks for putting the cheese on the cracker. Till next time, we out. No. But we didn't want to go with cheese and crackers. So that didn't work. So we couldn't put the cheese on the cracker. The hip hop organic ways.
By the gluten free community. The vegans are going to be pissed.
They're going to be upset. Like, really? You guys are still eating cheese? From the milk.
Outro just for this episode was just Camp Lo? That was it. I bet. I'm like, oh my god, I need a therapy session.
Unfortunate. Fortunate for you, you won't need that therapy session, but unfortunate for us, it creates a copyright issue.
I forgot about that. So, I swear I went to Berkeley and I knew that. I promise.
Those rules that they taught you about in school, they apply in the real world too.
Blah blah blah.
Yeah, I know. So we've not come up with the way to end it.
We're going to end it by saying that you, Thick Flair,
who
are the cheese on the cracker. You are the cheese. You are the cheesiest damn thing I've ever met.
You know what? I'm okay with that. I attract all the hood rats because I'm the big cheese.
Oh!
God. All right, we're going to quit while we're ahead. So until next time, everybody, for the queen of everything, the Punkdemic CEO, Amazon, special guest Flora Lucchini, I'm MC Johnny T, a.k.a. You Know Who, yes. Dick Flair.
Love you guys. So thank you.
So long until next time.
We'll say it in Portuguese. Um beijo, um queijo.
Okay, that's hot.
That sounded real dope. One more again.
Um beijo, um queijo. A kiss and a piece of cheese. There you go.
I have to figure out which one I want more, that kiss or the cheese.
Un beijo, queijo.
We'll find out next time.
Ciao, bye.